Well, open with me in your Bibles to two places tonight. Take a moment and find Jeremiah chapter 15. This will be our main verse for the evening. And we will exegete that verse or break it down and look at a couple of the phrases here in Jeremiah 15. So keep your finger or a marker there. And then, for some background, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings, back before Jeremiah, 2 Kings chapter number 20. And we'll get some background on the verse that we will examine tonight. I want to talk to you about this idea, seek His face in Bible reading. Seek His face in Bible reading. I was thinking, here we are, the last Sunday of the year, and I don't know what happened with you and your personal Bible reading in 2014, but whether it was good or whether it wasn't so good, we've got a chance to start anew and afresh. We've got a new year, and you could set out in the year 2015 to read God's Word every day. You could perhaps set a goal to read through the Bible in a year. You could set a goal to listen through the Bible. Now you can get the audio Bible and listen through. And boy, you could, that usually goes faster than reading sometimes. And you could listen through the Bible in a few months perhaps, if you took a half hour a day or so. It's amazing what we can do. But I really think that it'd be a great emphasis here on the last Sunday night of the new year to say, let's seek His face in Bible reading. And before we get into that, I want us to look in 2 Kings chapter 20. King Hezekiah of Judah asked for an extension of his earthly life. He was getting ready to die. The prophet came in and told him, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Prepare to meet thy God. And he prayed and he said, Lord, I would like to live. And God answered his prayer, gave him a 15-year extension on his life. He told him, you're going to live for 15 more years. That'd be interesting to know exactly how long you had. Did you ever think, you know, if I knew exactly how long I had, here's what I would do, and here's what I would do. And none of us get that privilege, but Hezekiah got that privilege. He knew exactly how long he had, 15 years. It was during that time, perhaps, that his son Manasseh was born. Because the Bible says that Manasseh began to reign when he was 12 years old. Look at 2 Kings chapter 20 and the end of the chapter, verse 21. It says, and Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. The next verse in the next chapter, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. So here we see a Manasseh ruling at age 12. Now some folks have broken down all the dates for the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel in the north, kings of Judah in the south, and some Bible scholars believe that perhaps Hezekiah and Manasseh had a co-regency. And perhaps when Hezekiah found out that he was going to die in 15 years, he had 15 more years to live, that perhaps that's when he began to work with Manasseh at age 12, and he began to reign at age 12, and Hezekiah worked with him for 15 years. That's a possibility as well. But here's one thing that's apparent. It's apparent that Hezekiah did not bring up Manasseh in the way that he should go. Because Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But Manasseh definitely departed from the Lord. As a matter of fact, Manasseh was arguably the most wicked king that the southern half of Israel, the country of Judah, ever had. The most wicked king of all. And he reigned for 55 years. You know, sometimes we look at different presidents that we've had and we think, oh, this president is not very good. And yet we know we only have him for 4 years or maybe eight. But after that, you know, there's term limits. Can you imagine 55 years Manasseh built altars to false gods. Not only that, but he built those altars right in the temple of the Lord, right in the courts of the temple of the Lord. Perhaps he justified it by saying, well, we're building these idols, these idol altars to false gods, but we're going to worship the Lord, the true Lord, with them. You see, God is not pleased with worldly worship. And today, there are so many churches that have worldly forms of worship, and God is not pleased with that. Look in chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. It says, he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem I will put my name, and he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. In other words, he built an altar for the sun, to worship the sun, an altar for stars, and all the host of heaven, just like the heathen did. And Manasseh was a most wicked king. The Bible goes on to say that, look at verse 6, chapter 21, 6. He made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. By the way, all that stuff with enchantments and wizards, okay, Harry Potter and all that, okay, Christians shouldn't be having any part in that stuff, but Manasseh did. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So Manasseh was a wicked king. When it says he made his son pass through the fire, one of the false gods that was worshipped in those days was the god Molech. And they had an idol that would be of metal, and they would open up a hole in the idol's belly and build a fire inside the idol so the metal would get red hot. And his arms were out in front of him at a slight angle toward his body, and they would do baby sacrifices. They'd offer, put the baby on those hot burning arms, and of course the baby would writhe and wriggle and eventually roll and fall into the fire in the god's belly, and they would offer human sacrifice of their own children. And perhaps that's what Manasseh did when the Bible says he made his son pass through the fire. A very wicked king. After Manasseh, his son Amon reigned for 2 years. And he reigned wickedly, so wickedly that he was assassinated. And then after that, his son, Josiah, came to reign. And Josiah was one of the very few good kings of Judah. Matter of fact, Josiah was such a good king that he kind of got things turned around. He broke down all the idols and all the altars that Manasseh had built. He got rid of the false priest to the false idols. And Josiah was a good king. And it was into this scene that Jeremiah the prophet came and began to preach when Josiah, the grandson of Manasseh, the great-grandson of Hezekiah, was ruling, and things turned around, and Jeremiah is preaching. But the message that God gave Jeremiah to preach was an unpopular message. Jeremiah came before them and said, hey, because of the sins of Manasseh and the sins of the land of Israel and Judah, your nation Judah is going to go into captivity. The Babylonians are going to come and take you over. Wait a minute, Jeremiah. Things turned around. Manasseh was a couple kings ago. And then we had Amon, and he was bad, but we got rid of him. And then we had Josiah, and he helped us get rid of all the idol worship. And we're doing all right. We're serving the Lord. Imagine if the United States of America elected a Christian president, and that Christian president reversed abortion, rooted out the sin of homosexuality. What if he put Bible reading and prayer back in the public schools? And then a preacher would stand up and say, America's going to be destroyed in just a few years, and there's no way around it. We'd say, wait a minute, we repented. And the preacher would say, America's going to be destroyed, but repent anyway. Repent anyway, but America's going to be destroyed. We'd say, no, we turned things around. We got a Christian president. We got everything worked out. And it was hard for the people to accept. Now, we're not exactly sure when Josiah got things turned around. Maybe it was after the preaching of Jeremiah. Maybe Jeremiah began to preach and he said some things. But you know, one of the things Jeremiah said, all right, go to the book of Jeremiah now, and I have you in chapter 15. Keep your finger there, but go to chapter 18, verse 8. Because one of the things Jeremiah said in chapter 18, verse 8, he said, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." So we have a promise from God here in the book of Jeremiah that if a nation turns from their evil, God will repent or not do the evil, the judgment that he thought to do upon them. And Jeremiah preached that, even though in Israel's case, they had so many times sinned, repented, that this time he said, "You're going to go into captivity." But you know what? It didn't happen in Josiah's day. Because Josiah did right, and the people followed and did right, and so the judgment was postponed. As a matter of fact, it was postponed for a number of years. There are probably four more kings and after Josiah, and a number of them are wicked, before the Babylonians finally come and Israel is exiled out of the promised land. Now, Josiah was probably about 21 years old when Jeremiah began preaching. And he said, "You're going into exile. Get right with God, because he's going to send judgment." When Josiah was 25, about 4 years later, they made an amazing discovery. They were rooting around in the temple, and they found some of the scrolls of the law, the Bible, the Word of God. Apparently, they had fallen so far away from God that they didn't even know where the scrolls were. They didn't even know where the writings of Moses, and perhaps they had Joshua and maybe some other books of the Bible as well at this time. And they didn't even know where those were. And they were discovered, and Josiah read them and realized, "We're doing wrong." And then he got everything turned around. With all that in mind, it's not surprising what Jeremiah said in chapter 15. So now go back to our verse for tonight, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Remember, the Bible, the scrolls were just, in a sense, rediscovered. They had fallen into disuse. People didn't even know where they were, didn't even think about them existing. And then, under the reign of Josiah, they found those scrolls. And look what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15, 16. "Thy words were found." "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Would you read that verse with me, and then we'll break that down tonight? I'll say the reference, and you jump in and say the verse with me. Ready? Jeremiah 15, 16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." What should we do with the word of God? Here it says, "Thy words were found." And I think the first thing I want to talk about tonight is that the word of God is for seeking. We need to seek the word of God. Thy words were found. Okay? Finding it gives the idea of seeking. Remember what Jesus said? "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." As we enter the new year, we ought to be seeking the word of God. Our nation, like the nation of Judah, is in dire straits. Perhaps judgment can be averted. I know, based on Jeremiah 18:8, that at least judgment can be delayed. Will God judge the righteous with the wicked? He wouldn't. Remember, Abraham asked that question, and God refused to judge the righteous with the wicked. Matter of fact, he got Lot out of Sodom before he judged. And perhaps it'll be the rapture that takes us out before God judges America. I don't know. But that judgment, based on Jeremiah 18:8, can definitely be postponed, if not averted altogether. We should seek the Word of God. and see if that judgment can't be postponed for our kids' sake, for our grandkids' sake, that they can grow up in a free nation like we have and be able to worship God freely and read God's Word without fear of persecution. We have a wonderful nation in America. Even to this day with all of its problems, I'd still rather live here than anywhere else. But let's pray. But let's seek the Word of God. Oh, that we would rediscover, like they discovered the Word of God in Josiah's day. Oh, that we would rediscover the Word of God in 2015. We should seek after it. Again, keep your finger here in Jeremiah, but go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. There are all different methods for Bible study, but I want to give you a little scriptural method here. A scriptural method for Bible study from Proverbs chapter 2, and has to do with seeking the Word of God, but I call it the in-out-up-down principle. The in-out-up-down principle. Sometimes I point. I go, in-out-up-down principle. Okay, let me show it to you in Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. In other words, get God's word in. Receive my words. Hide thy commandments with me. Get it in. And you do that by reading it, memorizing it, okay, thinking about it. Verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So not only get it in, but then apply it, do what it says, get it out. Okay, so get God's word in, then apply it, do something about it with your life, get it out. Then verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, if thou liftest up thy voice for understanding. Lift up your voice. There's up. Okay, and we say, Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to apply this in my life. Father, what are you trying to say to me through this verse? Pray through that verse, that passage of Scripture. So get it in, get it out. Get it up by praying about it. And then verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. There's down. You got to dig down deep like you're digging for treasure. Okay, buried treasure. Let's find it in the Word of God. Let's dig it up. You know, a lot of the special blessings and treasures of the Word of God are not right there on the surface. Oh, I think the teachings about salvation are right there on the surface. Easy for anybody to understand. But there are other things that God reveals to those who will study, those who will dig deep and say, I want to try to find those silver nuggets, those gold nuggets in the Word of God. Dig down deep. And it says in verse 5, if you'll do that in, out, up, down study, then in verse 5, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See, we've got to seek so that we can find. And the Word of God, number one, is for seeking. Okay, back to Jeremiah chapter 15. Thy words were found. That means the Word of God is for seeking. Thy words were found. He says, and I did eat them. Now that's strange. You mean you ate the scrolls, Jeremiah? I don't think he physically ate the pages that the Bible was written on. Okay, I think what he's saying is, we use this phrase today, boy, you devoured that book. You know, over Christmas break, you read that thick novel? Man, you devoured that book. Well, guess what? We ought to devour this book. We ought to devour God's Word. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. As we enter the new year, we ought to say, Lord, I'm going to trust the Word of God for sustenance. Not only for seeking, but for sustenance, to sustain me, to hold me up. Just like physical food sustains you physically, the Word of God sustains us spiritually. Listen to what Ezekiel said in chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Here's another prophet, the prophet Ezekiel, who is told to eat the Word of God. And this may have been actually physical eating. It's hard to understand maybe, but maybe Ezekiel had to physically eat that scroll. I'm not sure. But when he did, it was like honey for sweetness. And he got the Word of God inside him so that he could go and preach God's Word to the people who needed to hear it. So we need to eat God's Word. Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. God's Word compared again to food, but said that it's more important than our necessary food. Not more important than my snacks. More important than my necessary food. Boy, if I got to skip a meal to have time to get into God's Word, then I ought to do it. Because it's more important than my necessary food. Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. I'll tell you what, gold represents money, right? And we have been praying around here for God to supply money for the parking lot. And boy, we'd be so excited if we had money for the parking lot. Guess what? We got something to get more excited about. We got the Word of God. Sweeter than honey, but more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Okay? We've got a treasure more precious than any finances we could be asking for because we've got the Word of God. Let's devour this book. Psalm 119:103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The verse behind me, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, God's Word is like honey, it's like food, it's spiritual sustenance for us. Let's ask ourselves a question tonight. Sure, we live in dark days. What can sustain our family in these dark days? What can cause our family to prosper? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua 1:8 says, you want to prosper in these dark days? You want to have success in your life and in your family? Let God's Word be your meditation day and night. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Stop filling your mind with the philosophy of this world. We often sit in that seat and allow the philosophy of this world to come through our television set and fill our minds. It wouldn't be a bad thing for somebody to say, you know what? However much time I watch TV, before I watch that TV show for a half hour or an hour, or that sports game for an hour and a half, I'm going to have that much time reading my Bible. Whoa! That would transform some lives. If we said, you know what? God's Word's going to be more important. Because we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't let them fill our minds with things. The Bible goes on in Psalm 1 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow, what a great promise. If we'll meditate on God's Word, not listen to this world and let them change our thinking, but fill our minds with God's Word, let Him change our thinking, and then we'll prosper. What will sustain our families in these days, the Word of God? What will sustain our church in these days? What could cause our church to prosper in these dark days? Hey, the church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. In 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Is the devil attacking churches today? Yeah. We need more Bible, not less. We need more preaching, not less. Sermonettes produce Christianettes. We need more Bible studies, more Sunday school. We need it more than ever, not less. Let 2015 be the year that you decide, I'm going to saturate my life with the Word of God. I'm going to be faithful to church, I'm going to be faithful in my devotions. Lord, if you'll help me, I'll spend time with you every day. And let's saturate our lives with the Word of God. What can sustain your Christian life in these days? Man, there's lots of temptation, lots of pull. We need more personal Bible reading and Bible study. That's what we need. So the Word of God for sustenance. The Word of God for seeking. Number three, the Word of God for satisfaction. Look down again at Jeremiah 15. I love this. He says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Jeremiah said, you know what? Dark days in this nation. Man, we're going into captivity. Things look bleak. God has given me a message to preach and nobody likes it. Matter of fact, they didn't like what Jeremiah was preaching. He went around preaching and they got mad at him. Okay, now I've never had people outwardly mad at me. Well, one time. Okay, one time I had somebody outwardly mad at me. But most of the time when I preach, everybody's, they smile. They don't always, do what I'm preaching about, but at least they smile, and look pleasant, And you guys are all looking pleasant tonight. Well, Jeremiah didn't have that. God told Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces. In Jeremiah 1:6, because they were looking at him. They were mad. They didn't like what he was preaching. And yet, he had to keep doing it. It'd be pretty hard for a preacher to face angry congregation week after week after week after week. But you know what? Jeremiah had joy and rejoicing because his life was wrapped up in the Word of God. He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my life." Hey, we are facing dark days in this nation. But we don't have to be glum Christians. Oh man, God's going to judge America. We're in big trouble now. No, we can have joy. We can have rejoicing. Because although we love America, our life is not wrapped up in this country. Our life is wrapped up in God and in His Word and in His will for our lives. Wicked King Manasseh had led this nation into idolatry, and Judah was going to be exiled from the promised land. Those were sad days, and yet Jeremiah had joy and rejoicing. He was facing dark national days. Not only that, he was facing dark personal days. In chapter 38, you go home and read it, Jeremiah chapter 38, the prophet is thrown into a pit, probably a deep, mucky well. And he's left there basically to die. He's rescued by an Ethiopian man named Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech, that would have been a good trivia question. Who rescued Jeremiah from the well? Who would have known it was Ebed-Melech? Come on, show your hand. All right, Ebed-Melech rescued him. He does it very tenderly. He lowers some ropes, but he also gives him some cloths to place around the rope before Jeremiah puts the ropes under his arms. He's real compassionate, and he rescues Jeremiah out of the well. But you know what? Even in that personal trial, Jeremiah had joy and rejoicing. He says, "Your word is the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You can have great peace. Even in personal trial, I don't know what 2015 holds. You might go through dark waters, deep waters. You might have a loved one pass away. You might have a disease strike someone very young in your family. You might have other personal tragedies take place. You might face, we all might face financial ruin. The American dollar may collapse. Who knows? But the truth is, even in dark personal days, we can have peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. We can have joy and rejoicing. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my life. And you know what? 2015 can be your best year ever. How? Get more into the Word of God than ever before. For Christmas, Tim and I got a Christmas gift here. It's a little booklet that takes us through the whole Bible. And we might try to do it in a year. It's set up that way. And it's got room to write down things from each chapter that you learn each day. If anybody would like to take a look at this, and you might be able to order one and still get it in before the new year, or at least get a couple days into the new year. So you're welcome to take a look at this. There's one for adults. There's a little different one for teenagers. And there's even one for kids. Three different three different ones. And so I don't know what plan you have, but get yourself a plan and say, you know what, 2005, I'm going to read God's Word. Some kind of daily program. To do it, you need a daily schedule. You need a time. You know, maybe on days that you have school or work, you're going to make an appointment with the Lord and you're going to meet Him at such and such a time. Might mean getting up early out of bed. Will it be worth it? The joy and rejoicing of your heart. It'll be worth it. Getting up a little bit earlier than you have to normally. You say, I already get up at 5:30. It'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Maybe on Saturdays your appointment time will be different if you're not working or you don't have school. Maybe on Sundays it'll be a different time. But set appointment times and say, God, this is when I'm going to meet with you. And then guard that appointment because the devil will try to fight against it. Read God's Word. Get a daily program going. Memorize God's Word. Hey, come February or March, one of those months, we're going to have Scripture Memory Month again. And maybe this will be the year you say, this year I'm going to get involved. Last year I didn't turn in one of the Scripture Memory Sheets, but this year I'm going to. Or last year I learned 5 verses, this year I'm going to learn 10. Or this year I'm going to learn the whole sheet. You know, get involved. Let's get God's Word into our lives. Decide to read it. Decide to memorize it. Decide to hear it. Decide that you're going to attend all 4 weekly services of the church. Now, I know some of you have to work at different things like that, but, you know, if at all possible, don't sit home. Don't watch TV when God's people are meeting together. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. One preacher said when it comes to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I like this, he said, 4 to flourish. 4 to flourish. And there's nothing like hearing the Word of God and hearing it preached week by week and a couple times during the week. Now, why was the Word of God so precious to Jeremiah? I think the answer to that is in the end of the verse. He said, once again, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And here's the answer. Here's why. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Why was God's word so precious to Jeremiah? Because he knew that he was called by God's name. And he was the Lord God of hosts. The Lord God of hosts is his military name. It's his fighting name. It's the idea that he's the commander in chief. He's the Lord God of all the armies of hosts. I've been praying about a theme for next year. And I believe the Lord's leading, and we'll probably introduce it at the end of January on Vision Sunday. But I believe the Lord is leading us to take on a theme for next year about being a soldier for the Lord. Because he's the Lord God of hosts. He's the military general. And Jeremiah said, the reason God's word is so precious to me, it's like my marching orders. It shows me what God wants me to do. And it shows me how we're going to have success in this spiritual battle. Oh, we might go into exile, but we're going to have success. And Jeremiah knew the prophecies, maybe some of the prophecies the Lord gave him, that said Israel was going to inherit that land. And God would be faithful to his promises to Abraham. And even if they went into captivity, they would return. And God would give them that land. And Jeremiah knew how it was all going to turn out. And he said, you know what? I've got a calling from God. I've got something to do for God. I've got a purpose for my life that God gave me. And when you're focused on that purpose that God has for your life, all of a sudden, God's word becomes so precious. And reading it doesn't become just a duty or just a chore. It becomes the joy and rejoicing of your heart. All that to say this. If you say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to read God's word every day, the only way it's going to be a joy to you is if you're surrendered to God's call. And you say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want with my life. I'll do what you want for my future. I'll do what you want today. I'll do what you want tomorrow. Lord, my life is yours. And when we're called by his name, and he's the one that's given us a purpose to live, then all of a sudden this book becomes precious. It's like, all right, now I know what he wants. And now I have the strength to do what he wants. And I know how it's going to turn out. I'm on the winning side, so I have joy and rejoicing. And I can face whatever has to be faced today because God's word is the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that like never before in 2015, that the Word of God will be to us the Word of God for seeking, the Word of God for sustenance, to hold us up and sustain us as individuals, as a church, and as families, that you'll sustain us through the Word of God. And Lord, that the Word of God will indeed be our satisfaction, the joy and rejoicing of our life. Lord, if we need to surrender to you, if we need to get on the bright page with you so that your word will be that joy and rejoicing, I pray that tonight will be a night of surrender. And then, Lord, may tonight be a night of commitment where we say, Lord, with your help and by your grace, we're going to spend time in the Word of God like never before, reading it, memorizing it, hearing it preached. Lord, may we saturate our lives with Scripture in 2015. And I pray, Lord, that that would be one of the great things we take with us from a year of 2014 of seeking you and seeking your face, that we'll be closer to the Word of God than ever before. Lord, do something specific in our hearts tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.